Welcome to you all to our Easter seminars. Divinity Faculty and the Cambridge Centre for Christianity Worldwide. First time I've said that publicly. It's a great pleasure to see you all. For those of you who don't know, I'm Emma Wildwood and I'm the director of the centre, and I've been organising these seminars with Joelle Cabrita, who's here at the Divinity Faculty. And we're delighted today to welcome Dr. Dorota Nagy, who's going to speak to us on world Christianity and global Christianity, working terms in missiological research. Dorota is originally from Romania. She studied in Budapest and was ordained there as a Lutheran minister. Her PhD is from Utrecht, and I have a copy here which will find its way into the Centre Library once it reopens in July. Migration and Theology, the Case of Chinese Christian Communities in Hungary and Romania in the globalisation context. We could have a sneak preview. From Utrecht, she went to work in Göttingen at the Max Planck Institute for Religious and Ethnic Diversity, again working on Chinese migration networks, but particularly in Germany. And since then, she's been working in Hungary in partnership with UNISA, the University of South Africa. And over to you, Dorota. Thank you very much for coming all this way to be with us.
Thank you, Emma, for these nice, warm, welcoming words. And I greet you all today with an ancient Easter greeting. Christ is risen. Yes, we used to shout out this, Christ is risen, during my childhood. I grew up in a Romanian village, and it was rather a multi-ethnic village. So we shouted this, Christ is risen, in Hungarian, Romanian, and German each time. And of course, on other stages, the multi-ethnic living together was not that beautiful, but at least with Easter, we could shout each other, Christ is risen. And I also greet you with artwork painted by a Hungarian artist who was born in Transylvania, where I was born. His name is Miklós Borsos, and he played a rather crucial role in the revolution in 1956, but this aside. And now I turn to you, Emma, and I really thank you for inviting me here today. And thank you for coming, and thank you for your interest in this fascinating topic of world Christianity and global Christianity. I've just realized that the center has recently changed its name into Cambridge Center for Christianity Worldwide. And at some point, I still saw on the website a flashcard, Understanding World Christianity, and I thought in myself, this is the perfect place to be for somebody who is puzzled about this terminology of world Christianity and global Christianity. Anyhow, I hope that my presentation will generate good discussions, and please welcome my thoughts as reflections. So I'm really in a reflecting stage, and I have more questions than statements, and I really would like you to engage in this reflection about what is going on in terms of world Christianity and global Christianity. Renaming institutions, research centers, departments, or even disciplines happen regularly. Think of the Center for the Study of World Christianity at Edinburgh University, which was formerly known as the Center for the Study of the which was formerly known as a study of Christianity in the non-Western world. Changes in name usually indicate changes in situation. And I have to refer also to the Max Planck Institute for the Study of Religious and Ethnic Diversity in Göttingen, which formerly was an institute of Max Planck Institute of History and Theology. Now this is all theology at Max Planck is all history, And it's really overwhelmed by anthropologists and sociologists. And I had the luck, the privilege to be able to work there as a theologian for 1 year. And I'm really grateful for that opportunity. So changes in name usually indicate changes in situation and new developments aiming at more clarity. One of such changes happened in 2007, around the 75th anniversary of the chair of missiology at the Radboud University, Nijmegen, the Netherlands. This renaming is closely connected with the heated debate about the role, the meaning of missiology, intercultural theology, mission studies, comparative theology. And then Radboud decided to move the chair of mission studies from the Faculty of Theology to the Faculty of Religious Studies and name it Studies in World Christianity and Interreligious Relations. And they did so in order to, quote, to show unambiguously that the chair has a multi-perspective and polymethodical approach, theology being one of them. From a postmodern and post-colonial perspective, the classical disciplines with clear-cut boundaries between them had lost their relevance anyway, unquote. And then studies are perceived, and this appears in a footnote of an article, as transdisciplinary for a non-Western perspective, and please pay attention to the terms here, distinctions between philosophy, theology, and religious studies are extremely fluid. For the occasion, Franz Weizen and Robert Schreiter, who by that time was affiliated with the Radboud University, edited and published a volume entitled Global Christianity, Contested Claims. In the series, Studies in World Christianity and Interreligious Relations, which became the continuation of the Church and Theology in Context series. So Church and Theology in Context, renamed World Christianity, Studies in World Christianity and Interreligious Relations. The volume contains a number of articles responding to Philip Jenkins' book, The Next Christendom, The Coming of Global Christianity. The shape of global Christianity, writes in the introduction Franz Weizen, is changing, and within it the disciplines that study this development. At Radboud, the terms global Christianity and world Christianity came together and formulated the working conditions, and please mind the working of my title, the working conditions, so the working terms, also for missiologists. Weizen also remarks that, in fact, practice went faster than theory. And it is not only that many of the crucial questions around the discipline of missiology remain unanswered, but there is much unclarity about the terms world Christianity and global Christianity. Yet, chairs of missiology are renamed, professorships in world Christianity are created, research centers are opened and renamed, series are published, world Christianity, global Christianity sell well. And they also generate a diverse vocabulary of synonyms and related terms and phrases which surround them, like global church, world Christian studies, documenting world Christianity, emergence of world Christianity, or the age of world Christianity, the age of the global church, and so on. The following, I would like to invite you to reflect on the implication of these working terms for missiology. I would like to organize this reflection in two parts. The first part is asking the question, who is using these terms and what do they mean by it? And in the second part, what kind of implications do the present observations have for missiological research? Before we start reflecting, however, it is important to know what do I mean by missiological research. By missiology, I mean theology missiology, which is a hyphenated concept. I regard theology, missiology, as an academic discipline and as a function of the church, which observes, reports, and systematically analyzes contemporary manifestations of Christian identities, and then identities as forms of differentiation, and consequently formulates its own theological interpretations. It practices interdisciplinarity. Such a working definition requires methodological awareness from the researcher. Theologians, missiologists, individual experience, traditional valuation, and personal commitment, to use Paul Tillich's formulation from his systematic theology, define research. In my understanding, at least at this stage of my life, a researcher in theology, missiology, embarks on research as a member of the church with the commitment to work on the identity issues related to the church. Having said this, I hope that you are still willing to stay on board with me this afternoon. Now, back to the working terms, world Christianity and global Christianity. Who uses these terms and what meanings are attributed to them? A good number of scholars use them, most of them interchangeably, and most of them use these terms without informing us what they mean by them. The number of publications using world Christianity and global Christianity in their title is speedily increasing, and it would be impossible to present within this short time the bibliography I have gathered under this topic, so please take it with just a photograph I made yesterday morning at home, and it's not complete because I was quite disorganized, so I could not get back all the books I had on the title. So I will work with examples which, according to my own reading of a rather large body of literature working with world Christianity and global Christianity, challenge us to think further. Reflecting on the question who uses the term world Christianity, global Christianity, it seems that the appearance, not, but the popularity of these terms within the academia and outside it has to do quite much with the success of Philip Jenkins' book, Next Christendom, The Coming of the Global Christianity, which was published, its first edition was published in 2002. I said that the appearance, not, because the terms word Christianity, the term word Christianity has a longer genealogy. We will reflect on that a little bit later. So Jenkins, in the second edition of his book in 2007, so 5 years later, formulates the central thesis of the book, saying that, quote, far from being an export of the capitalist West, a vestige of Euro-American imperialism, Christianity is now rooted in the third world, and the religion's future lies in the global South. In the preface of the second edition, Jenkins addresses his terminology in relation to Lamin Sanne's distinguishment of the two terms. Sanne, in his book, Whose Religion is Christianity? The Gospel Beyond the West, published in 2003, distinguishes between world Christianity and global Christianity. He writes, world Christianity is the movement of Christianity as it takes form and shape in societies that previously were not Christian, societies that had no bureaucratic tradition with which to domesticate the gospel. World Christianity is not one thing, but a variety of indigenous responses through more or less effective idioms, but in any case without necessarily the European Enlightenment frame. So this is world Christianity. Global Christianity, on the other hand, is the faithful replication of Christian forms and patterns developed in Europe. Well, I don't know how you listen to this definition, but it caused me quite a bit of headache to read these sentences again and again. While the first edition of The Next Christendom did not address the terminology, Jenkins addresses the issue of terminology in the preface of the second edition, saying that much of what he described in his book should be called word Christianity, if he was to follow Sanna's distinction. But according to him, the distinction Sanna draws is not plausible enough because, quote, the two forms often mutate and merge into each other, unquote. Therefore, Jenkins continued to use global Christianity in a broad and non-judgmental way. This is a formulation by him. The scholarly conversation on the terms goes between Jenkins and Sanna. It goes on. In Sanna's book, Disciples of All Nations, Pillars of Word Christianity, published in 2008, in fact, the title Disciples of All Nations was a title of a chapter by Jenkins, so you see this very close cooperation between them, which explains that Christianity has never been the Western religion and states that word Christianity occurs, quote, without the institutions and structures that defined Western Christendom, including the tradition of scholarship, theological schools, and hierarchical agency. Christianity is now, says Sanna, in the twilight of its Western phase. So from here, the expression, the New Age, its future, so world religion, is now being formed and shaped at the hands and in the minds of its non-Western adherents. More than that, world Christianity is remarkable for its civil character, its relative peacefulness, and its non-reliance on the state instrument. These are words Sanna writes in 2008 and in 2003. In order to sustain his arguments, Sanna refers to the genocide in Rwanda in 1994, saying that this violence, quote, was not based on religious division, unquote. It is, of course, remarkable that exactly by the time Sanna was formulating these arguments, the post-2007 elections violence in Kenya was culminating, and it was a common knowledge that violence there had much to do with religion, with Christianity. In any case, either reading Jenkins or Sanna, word Christianity and or global Christianity are constructed with a conscious Western, non-Western, post-Western vocabulary, and this characterizes not only Jenkins and Sanna, but word Christianity, global Christianity, is too often defined through the Western, non-Western, and respectively global South, global North, North dichotomies. The World Christianity Initiative at Yale, where Lamin Sanna is director, continues to stimulate research through these dichotomies. However, the term World Christianity has already appeared in theological writings before the Western non-Western dichotomy was propagated or spelled out as such. Dana Robert, professor of word Christianity, please mind her title, professor of word Christianity and history of mission, and the director of the Center for Global Christianity and Mission at Boston University School of Theology, traces back the appearance of the term word Christianity in the beginning of the 20th century. And she distinguishes among several dimensions in the usage of the term. She says that between the two world wars, this term was used especially in Protestant circles, and it was a desire of the Protestant churches to form a one church for one world. So it was a Protestant formulation of a longing for universality, fellowship across theological and national lines. This longing for unity remained also during the Cold War. Word Christianity meant one word, one church. Please remember the Lausanne series, Studies in World Christianities, already in the early 70s, actually late 60s already, we had a whole books of series with the, in the series Studies in World Christianity, and there, for example, Central and East